Well, last week, two weeks ago, we started in 1 Peter, and we went from verse 1 to verse 5, and that's where we left off, and we're going to continue this. We learned in this letter to the Gentiles who were being scattered that God was in control of everything that was going on. So that's where we're going to continue. So we left off at verse 5. So let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Father, we thank you for the food that we've already received for our bodies, Father. Father, now we ask that you feed our spirits also, that we may be healthy, Father. Thank you for the word that we're about to receive, Father, for we know that knowledge brings rejoicing. And we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for the word that we're about to receive. Thank you for the preparation of my heart, Father, as you've revealed some things to me, Father, and I thank you for that. And I thank you for your leading and guidance, Father. I pray that these that are sitting here tonight, when they hear, Father, will be able to see how wonderful you are and how great you are, Father, and all the mighty things that you do. And, Father, I pray that it would bring great joy to their hearts as we hear your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. We left off at 1 Peter 1:5. 2 weeks ago, that's where we were at, and we're going to continue this because it's we're going to start at verse 6 through 12. But before we do that, let me go back and just do a little brief catch up. We're going to start at verse 3, and we'll read verse 3 through 5 again. And in this letter that Peter writes, he builds us up so much that it causes rejoicing in our hearts. It brings great joy, and that's why we want to. That's why we praise our Heavenly Father, and when we praise Jesus, because of the knowledge that we have of Him. So, in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God, through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And that's where we left off. And if you noticed that Peter is talking in the present tense, okay, it's not past tense, it's present. So he's referring to all of us. He's caused all of us to be born again. And he has an inheritance for each and every one of us. And it's being protected by Him. And we're being protected by Him. Before we start, let me ask this question. What causes us to give praise, glory, and honor to Jesus and God our Father? What causes it? What causes us to break out in song, in a praise song? What causes it? It's our love for Him, His love for us. You're right. It's the knowledge that we have of Him. It's the knowledge that He gives us, the spiritual knowledge. And it just, when it's revealed to us, it just brings such joy coming up from the inside of us. It just comes up and it comes out of our mouth. I remember a time, and this was a long time ago. Well, I won't go there. Never mind. I won't go there. So, but it's knowledge. And that's what causes us to praise Him and to give glory to Him and to honor Him because of all the wonderful things that He has done in our lives. Do you remember the day of your salvation? It was the knowledge that you had received that you can come to Him just as you are. You didn't have to do anything. He was there, standing there, just waiting with open arms. That day, if you remember that day, you were on such a joyous journey at that time that it seems to me in my life it could never be repeated until we read something like this, that the letter that Peter is writing to the Gentiles who are being scattered, okay, as we learned last week. Before we start at verse 6, turn over to Colossians 1:17-18. This here ought to bring great joy to your heart when we read this. Colossians 1:17-18. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Now that is so powerful if you think about it. I mean, can you imagine our Heavenly Father and Jesus holding everything together that we can see and touch? And you know, we go through so many things in our lives that doesn't seem like that could even be possible. And we're going to look at that. We're going to look at the trials that we go through, and how God's Word can hold us together and keep us in His loving kindness always. But it's such a powerful statement that He can do that, have that kind of that power. So let's go ahead and read verses 6 through 12, and then we're going to come back to 6. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you have not seen him now, you believe in him. You greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. In verse 10, as to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. In these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. So these were glorious things that have been taught to us, that have been revealed to us. So let's go back to verse 6 here. In the beginning it says, in this you greatly rejoice. What's he talking about here? In this you greatly rejoice. Is it not the knowledge that we just read, the verses 3 through 4, that he is protecting, guarding us? He is actually guarding us and the inheritance that we have. So this should be, you know, songs should rise up in us constantly, just knowing that this is taking place within us right now, and it'll never stop, because it won't stop now on earth until he comes and gets us, and we're going to look at that in a little bit too, until he takes us out of this world. So though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed. By various trials. Is there anybody in here tonight that is not going through some type of trial in their life right now? Whether it be physical or spiritual? Is there anyone? Well, I was going to say, if you raise your hand, I want to talk with you. I want to get near you, that's for sure, and hang around with you too. But yeah, each and every one of us is going to go through trials and tribulations in our life. Jesus said that. He taught us that. If you'll turn over to John 16, 33, let's go 32. So Jesus answered them, no, behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have what? Tribulations. As long as we're in this world, we are going to have tribulations. We're going to have trials. We're going to have mental fights. And it's not going to stop until the Lord comes and takes us out of here. But take courage. I have overcome the world. There's the positive part of it. There's the power of our Lord once again telling us to take courage. Rejoice. Be glad that these things are happening to you. and where you guys are looking at me like, I'm not glad, happy when we go through these things. No, we're not, but we're supposed to be. We should be because we know of the power that our Lord has and what He's doing, what the benefits of that power is for each and every one of us. And we're going to look at, we'll see that here in just a little bit further down here. So we see that we all go through various trials. All of us will have tribulation. Okay? Look at James 1, 2 through 8. You guys knew I was going to go there. James 1, 2 through 8. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Anybody can do that? Can you count it as all joy? Now we're going to see something here. Yeah. This is the way we should be, but we get so beat up. Anyway, knowing that the testing your faith produces what? What does it produce? Patience. Mine says endurance. So trials have a purpose in our life. Okay? And in verse 4, he says, and let endurance have its perfect result. The patience. Let your patience have the perfect result of that. So that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So you see the beauty of this? You see the power of going through various trials? It gives us a strength that we've never had before, a spiritual strength we've never had before. It gives us a strength that we can overcome. And that's what has been wrote right here in Peter. He says, But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to you or to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So what we're seeing here, we're seeing two types of Christian. We're seeing the first Christian, he's mature. Okay, he's very mature in the Lord, and he's taking the trials and the tribulations that come upon him, and he's giving them unto the Lord, and he's allowing the Lord to have His perfect will in him. So he's taken the trials and the tribulation and counting it as joy because he knows the outcome of it. He knows that Jesus is going through it with him at the same time because he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So he's going to go through these trials and tribulations at the same time that we go through them. So the mature Christian knows the outcome of it. God will always work it out for what? For our good. Our good. Okay? And that's where our strength comes from. It's in Him. It's always worked out. It's in Him. Our strength is in Him. It's always been in Him. If we allow Him to have His way with us. Instead of the second man here, it says that he's driven by the wind. He goes into faith and he goes into belief and unbelief. He's back and forth. That type of a Christian. That was me when I first became a Christian. Oh yeah, I was a Christian and didn't know much. And I would run into the throne room of God and crying out when I was going through something I couldn't understand and crying out to the Lord, what's going on? Why is this happening to you? How come it seems to continue and continue and continue? And then I wouldn't receive anything. So I'd go back into doing things my way. Go back to unbelief. This is what I would do. While I was in the throne room, I look at my watch. Lord, I've only got a few minutes. Let me read all these prayers to you that I've got here. For all these needs that I have. Listen to me, Lord. I've only got a few minutes. This was my life in the beginning. It was my life. And it took a while for me to understand that to become mature, I had to spend time with Him. I had to take this literally and apply it to my life and go into my closet and spend time with Him so I could grow and mature in the Lord. If you're not doing that, I encourage you to do it. Get your Bible. Go in, find your closet, find the time to be alone with Him. And just sit and listen. Listen to Him. He talks to us. If we believe that He's with us and He hasn't forsaken us, even though the trial or the tribulation says, yeah, He has. You've been beat up so much that you have doubts. And that's what the Word says right here. He says in verse 6, but he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf. He's a Christian for a while, then he goes back to unbelief. He's believing, then back to unbelief. But the mature Christian, he knows the outcome of this. And what's written here in James is knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Yeah, one of my faults was instructing God on what to do in my life. I know that went in one ear and out the other. You know that. But that was my life in the beginning. You know, I was a Christian. I claimed to be a Christian, but I denied His power. It took a while. It took a while. It took that steadiness that to be with Him. You know, in fact, I remember asking one time, Lord, help me with this. You know the work that I do every day. You know, I got a family to feed. I've got this to do. I've got bills to pay. When am I going to have time to spend any time with you? And I remember one time, one morning, I was sitting at the dining room table having a cup of coffee. And sure enough, the Lord says, I'm here. Now you have time. And that's where I've spent most of my time in the morning when early. I get up earlier morning, 3:30, I'm up, 4 o'clock. And I go get my coffee and I sit down and I spend the time with the Lord. I ask Him questions, especially when we're doing a study. And I ask Him, you know, things like, how do I get past this? You know, I remember Him warning, the Holy Spirit warning me one time that this, if I didn't do this, this was going to happen. And guess what I did? I didn't do that. Guess what happened? Exactly what the Lord said it would happen. And there I was, back in trouble again, wondering how I got into it, how I got into this mess. And yet all I had to do was just obey Him. And that's another thing, too. Suffering. It's a little bit different than trials, but it's part of trials. Especially if you're suffering in the Word, with the Word, this. Okay, but suffering produces also. Look at Hebrews 5:8-9. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to those who obey him the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God as the high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. You see, suffering produces obedience. So, when you're encountering these things, when you're going through tough times, let the joy flow out of you, knowing that the end results is going to be in your favor. It can only be that way because our God loves us. He loves us, and that's why it's going to be in our favor. So, endurance, it produces maturity. It makes us perfect, complete, and we're lacking in nothing. And also, suffering. What does it produce? Obedience. Suffering produces obedience. So let's look at verse 7 and 8. He goes on after various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So what's he telling us here? There's three things that are taking place here. First, we see the proof and reality of our faith in the first part of that. He says, at the time, the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, and it is. Gold is perishable. Your faith is not. It's not. Okay? So we see the proof and reality of our faith. Two, increasing love for Him. 7 and 8, First Peter. And another thing we see that's taking place is the assurance of the completion of our salvation. What a beautiful, beautiful sight that is, if you think about it. It's the complete, when the Lord, like we read in verse 5, at the last part of verse 5, salvation, it's a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So it's the assurance of the completion of our faith. We see that in these two verses. In fact, would somebody please read verse 8 and 9 together? He says, and though you have not seen him, you love him. Is that not true? Do you love him? And you haven't seen him? Well, then let me ask this question. How can you praise and worship someone you can't see? Huh? By faith? Yeah. Yeah, by your faith. And he goes on and he says, and though you do not see him now, you believe in him. Is that not true? Well, yeah, it's faith again. You can ask the same question again. How can you believe in someone you don't see? You can't see. I can believe in you guys. I can see you. You're real. Comes from from believing the word, of course. Yeah. Comes from the, yeah. Faith is the word. It comes from, how's the verse go? I can't remember off the top of my head. Faith comes by hearing. Yeah, by the word of God. Mm-hmm. So we see these things taking place in our lives. It proves our faith. This power that Jesus has proves our faith. It increases our love for him. And it's the insurance and the completion of our salvation, which is going to be revealed at the last time. Verses 10 through 12, Peter is reminding us, in verses 10 through 12, Peter is reminding them and us that the prophets of old prophesied of salvation coming to the Gentiles through a suffering Messiah. That's true, because we've read about this. You can find that in Isaiah 11 and Isaiah 53. And when you find some time, go read those. Read both of those, and you can see what we were talking about here. So the prophets of old, they announced that the Gentiles would be saved through a suffering Messiah. Even though they searched to find out at what time or who it was going to be, they searched for it. It says that in verse 11, seeking to know that person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating, as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. So they searched. They searched carefully in verse 10 and inquired about who this person was or the time it would happen. But this was a mystery. It was kept from them. And it wouldn't be revealed for a long time. We'll go to Colossians 1, 26 and 27. Oops. This is a beautiful mystery that was kept from them. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generation, but it has now been manifested to who? His saints. That's us. Okay. To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yeah. Amen. Doesn't that make you want to sing? Come on, guys. Girls, come on! Doesn't that make you want to sing? I mean, come on! What a wonderful thing that's taking place in our life. Christ is in us. Jesus is in us. He's in us, and we're in Him. Just like Him and the Father. I mean, these are wonderful facts that should cause us to just leap with joy. I mean, it's wonderful to we've been taught these things before, but it's good to hear again and again and again. Because it builds us up so much. So don't ever grow weary of doing good, like reading your Bible. Keep after it. Find that time. Spend time with Him. Be alone with Him. Let Him talk to you. You can actually hear Him. Okay, He would fulfill this in two parts. What was the first part? The first advent. The first advent was what? Jesus' birth and crucifixion. That took place. Now it's going to be done in two parts. The second part is his second advent, is when he returns to receive, to get his bride or his church, and that's us, to receive us, which we wait eagerly for. Are we not? Now this salvation that's coming to us is the end of all that we know on earth. It's the end of it. When we are caught up with him, the knowledge that we have of this earth and the things that have gone on this earth will be taken away, and the new knowledge that we'll have will be the same knowledge that he has. The same thing. We'll be one and the same with him. Go to 1 Thessalonians 1:16-18. And this is encouragement for practice. It goes right along with what we're talking about. 1 Thessalonians 1, and this is encouragement for practice, 16-18. I messed that one up, didn't I? It must be 2 Thessalonians then. Yes, it is. I got ahead of myself. It's where we're supposed to remind each other of the coming of the Lord. It's first. Okay. 16-18. That's it. I just didn't put my little doohickey on the... Looks like a one. And this is this is how we're supposed to comfort one another. When we're going through those terrible trials and we're going through things, don't be afraid to expose them. You know, we're supposed to be praying for one another. If we don't know what's going on in each other's lives, and you know, our prayers can be just kind of lame and mundane. To me, that's the way it is to me. So we can talk to one another. After all, we're brothers and sisters. We might as well learn to get along here. We're going to spend eternity together, so. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Okay? That's all that I have tonight.